An exciting church that you read in Scripture. The title of today's message is Living Beyond Yourself. And we want to be a church that lives beyond itself. And I want to give you some keys from a church in Antioch. An amazing church that got birth. But just a bit of background. We understand that Stephen gets martyred in Jerusalem. And all of a sudden, Christians start to scatter and flee. And they go all over the place. And all of a sudden, a man named Philip, his only responsibility was to wait on tables. Any waiters here? There's one. His only duty was to wait on tables. Suddenly, is preaching to the whole community of Samaria. Simon the sorcerer gets saved. And an Ethiopian encounters the Lord. And who knows what happened after that. But we know the gospel went out. There were seven people that were chosen just as waiters. The hands were laid on them. And all of a sudden, these seven waiters became apostles. But here's the one thing it says about them. When they looked for these seven people, there was a criteria that they must be full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. Are we a people that are full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit? From December the 1st onwards, I'm going to ask you as a church to please email me a miracle that took place in your life, any time of your life. We're looking for miracles because we serve a God of miracles. And ultimately, we want to end off on the 22nd of December having a night of miracles as we have a carols by candlelight. I just want to clarify, first of all, for Sunday the 1st, when you have the poiki, we're not going to have a service, but we're going to have communion together as part of the meal together. We're going to have fellowship and a meal together. But on the 22nd, we're going to have a night of miracles. So can I ask you to email me? It's andrew@uhupperhighway.vineyard. uhvineyard.co.za. Please email me your miracles. And we want you to share your miracle. We have two people already I've asked to share where God did a miracle in their life. Because we serve a God of miracles. And so when we have people who are on team, on staff, or leading a ministry, you want to be full of faith that God is able. Not he might, he may, but God is able. I am full of faith and the Holy Spirit within me. And then we see as we journey through, Saul becomes Paul. He has a radical conversion. We see Peter go to the first Gentiles in Cornelius' house. Isn't this a wonderful thing that God says about Cornelius? Your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up like a fragrant offering before me. Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a fragrant offering to me. And we see the Gentiles starting to come to faith. But then it says they scattered to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And in Antioch, a church is birthed. And I want to talk about this church because I believe we can be that church too. First of all, we see how it was birthed in Acts 11:19-20. And we read this. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks, also telling them about the good news of Jesus. So we see how the Greeks came to faith in Christ. And we see here there's a powerful thing of a group of people saying, I'm going. And here's some of the attributes I believe we need to be as a church. First of all, we need to be a church that receives people. And I want to use a word that David gave us over this weekend. And we want to be those who welcome people with open hearts. When someone walks, we don't know who's going to walk through these doors one day. We don't know who's in the community. But when they walk in, we welcome them with open hearts. And I love one Sunday we asked the question if anybody was new for the first time. And someone put their hand up and the whole church applauded. I think that's such a wonderful value. We can celebrate new people come in. So we welcome those that come in. But the second attribute of the church is that we are a church that also sends. We receive and we also send. And we read about, and I'll read here from Acts 12:25 to Acts 13:3. I'm just going to take parts of that scripture. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now the church in Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. There are going to be people in this congregation, and Sarepta has a history of that. We have a couple in Ingrid and Tim in Egypt, and there's many more that I don't even know about. And there's people all over that have been sent, that in this church, people are going to be raised up and sent where God has called them to be. So not only do we receive, but we're also sending. And it's in the sending that we see God's kingdom advance. It's very interesting when Jesus heals a blind man, he puts mud on his eyes and sends him to the pool of Siloam, and I've been there in Israel. And when he ducks himself, his eyes are open and he can see again. That word Siloam means sent one. When we send people, their eyes get open and they come to know the Lord, and we see the kingdom advance. The third attribute about this church, it had apostolic input. And we read here how in 2 Timothy 3:10 to 12, Paul talks about how difficult it was in Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch when he first arrived. And he says here, "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And when Paul goes to Antioch to break open the ground, and he's got his, can you imagine, you've got a hard ground. And you go in there with a jackhammer, the pick, and you're trying to break ground, and it's hard. Paul, when he first came to Antioch, it was like that. It was a hard ground. But there's something about the apostolic that break open the ground for us to come in and settle. And there's something that we need as a church, is apostolic input. And we have the joy of finding that with Vineyard. I think today we have a habit of calling people apostles who aren't apostles. Apostles are those who are sent ones who go out. Does anybody here have a hunger for the prophetic? I'm hoping you'll all put your hands up, because the Bible says we must all eagerly desire the gift of prophecy. It's something we need to stir up. And thank you, Amanda, for asking, does anybody have a word here today? We need to stir up the prophetic gift that's in here. Because we see in Antioch, when Jerusalem heard that there's a church forming in the Gentile world, what did they do? They sent, first of all, Barnabas to go have a look. And what did Barnabas do? Barnabas went to go find Saul in Tarsus and took him with him. Then they said, we need to send a prophet as well. So they sent Agabus up there. Because we need to know what Jesus is saying to the church. We know that Jesus is standing and he's knocking and he says, I want to come in and sup with you. I want to be there at your poiky evening. Poiky day, no. He says, I want to come and talk. I want to speak to you. I want to show you things that you do not know. I want to reveal to you mysteries of the kingdom. And when we have an apostolic and a prophetic DNA in our church, we become a resource church, a church that can go beyond itself. What's very interesting as well is actually it was in Antioch, as well as Lystra and Iconium, that the first elders were ever appointed in a church. The first time ever mention of elders being put in. But listen how they appointed them. They prayed and they fasted. And then they committed them to the Lord. And we are on this journey as well of seeking the Lord. Who are going to be the shepherds and overseers here in the flock? But we're going to do through prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord. Because when God appoints the person, his hand is upon them. His anointing is upon them. Now, one thing would happen in Antioch. False teaching started to rise up. They started to talk about being circumcised again. And thank God we don't need to do that if you get saved when you're 50 years old. But started talking about false teaching came in. That's where the apostolic wonderfully emerges, is that we can shut down any false teaching that may come in. And we see that. And I love what they say. As they wrote a letter to Antioch, they said this, "It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit not to burden you." The only burden we put on is the very only one that Jesus puts on. And he says, "My burden is light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." There's one area though I want to touch on, what happened in Antioch. And I get great comfort from this, is that Paul and Barnabas have a sharp disagreement. Have you ever had a sharp disagreement with someone? And the context of church is quite difficult because we're supposed to love one another, be in unity with one another. It's very difficult. But I find comfort from this in that it's said here, Paul and Barnabas had a sharp disagreement. It was concerning John Mark. And they went separate ways. Do you know, it's two sentences later, it says this, but the churches were strengthened. Our focus always has to be about the ministry that God has called us. And yes, we may have these, we may rub against each other, maybe a few sparks. But at the end of the day, His church grows and expands. In fact, sometimes when we have conflicts, God may be doing amazing work in establishing more communities of faith. In fact, your own body does that. How does your body grow? When you become a tiny seed in a woman's womb, your cells divide. And they divide, and they divide, and they divide. And eventually you end up with someone as good-looking as Jared over there. It's because all our cells have divided over many years, and we become a complete person. In the same way, the church does that. It keeps growing and multiplying, and nothing can stop it. But the last thing I want to mention about this church, Antioch, the first word Christian was mentioned about the people who were in the church of Antioch. Ever wondered why they called them Christians there? So we know the word Christian comes from two words. Christos, meaning Christ, the Messiah, and a second word meaning little one. So we're like little Christ. Another view may be that we belong to Christ. So Antioch was a multicultural, different languages, different backgrounds. There were slaves, there were masters, there were wealthy and poor. They had all come from different faiths and different traditions, and all of a sudden they were put into one building or one place or one community, but they all had Jesus inside them. But I believe the reason why they were called Christians there, because there was an anointing on that church. There was such an incredible anointing on the people that they said, I see the same anointing that was on Jesus was upon them. How would you like to be a church like that? When people come to visit, there's anointing, not on the guy on the stage only, but on every single person, because we carry Christ in us, that we are His anointing. And the idea, we want to be an inclusive church, that we all get to play, we all get to contribute, we all get to participate, because God can speak to the lady serving or the man serving tea, as well as you can speak to the man at the pulpit, to someone at the sign desk. God speaks to His people. That we all are anointed. So I want to sum up quickly. We want to be a church that receives people with open hearts. Anybody comes through that door, our heart is open to them. We want to be a church that raises up people so we can send them one day. David, we're not sending you because it hasn't come from, but you are sent one when you go to Finland. We want to be a community that are connected to an apostolic and a prophetic DNA. We want to be a community where there's good governance, where people are shepherded with open hands. We don't control people. We don't manipulate. We don't own people. Jesus, they belong to Him. So we want to lead with open hands. A church where the truth is preached and any lies and falsehoods get exposed for that what they are. Let us be a people that are full of faith, that say, God is able in my situation. I'm looking at it right now, I'm thinking it's impossible, but I'm a man, a woman, full of faith, and I say, He is able, because the Holy Spirit is within me, and I know that He can move this mountain that's before me. In fact, He'll give me the very words to cast it out. But a church where there's a corporate anointing on us as a body. Together we are His body, and together we can live beyond ourselves. We can reach far beyond ourselves. That's the journey I'm excited about. That's the church I want to belong to. And maybe I can quote 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. It says, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Next Sunday, next Sunday, Lonnie will be sharing with us. And he has been a son in this house. He is a sent one. And he's going to take a month mini sabbatical to go really hear from God for the next season for his life. He's very much part of the family. He's going nowhere. But he has a mandate that's far beyond just the local church, because he's a sent one. And he came in here one day as a young boy. He was raised up in this house, and now he's being sent off. I think that's a wonderful example of what we want to be as a church. So my question to you, do you know that you're anointed? Did you know that Christ lives within you? And no matter what your age is, you can be a sent one. God can send you. And the enemy just wants to ensnare us and trap us and hold us back. But we need to be those who overcome that, that we move forward. So I'd like to just end with a time of prayer. And can I ask you to stand up as you pray? Because I want to pray over every single one of us today. Tish, we were sharing at our time away that you, Veronica, and Janet met around your swimming pool. I don't know how long ago that was, 7 years ago, maybe more. Just two women meeting together by our pool, getting to know each other, and today a new church is birthed. But Father, we thank you that we are your anointed ones. Lord, I pray over us as a body, Lord, as we journey and continue to journey, Lord, that we'll be those who receive people with open hearts, that we will see men and women raised up and being sent, Father. But Father, I pray this your anointing on us as your body, as your church, Lord, that you won't stand on the outside and knock, because you'll be in the very epicenter of who we are. Our very DNA will be an apostolic, prophetic church, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that of every person this morning, Lord, their hearts will be stirred up, Lord, full of faith, Lord. And full of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And I pray, Lord, over Upper Highway Vineyard, Lord, that we too will be known, Lord, as a church that lives beyond itself. That we will see your kingdom advance in this community, in the outer west region, Lord, and to the ends of the earth, Lord. Because you're going to raise up men and women who are going to go far and wide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Bless you all. Next week, Zelani will be sharing with us, and we look forward to wonderful fellowship here. God bless.